The title of today's word, I've put true freedom. Really the question is, what is true freedom? When I was thinking about this, there's only one true freedom that I believe can be found, and that is in Christ Jesus. This morning I want us to take a look at a passage in Galatians. It's going to be from chapter 5, verses 1 to 26. I believe this Lord has laid this message on my heart, and I just want to read through this before we start. So if you want to look it up in your Bibles, and once I've seen you're all settled and got eye contact with you all, we'll begin. Okay, starting in verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who called you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident that in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go out the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbors as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will destroy each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, fractions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So reads the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word scripture tells us that all scripture is useful for teaching and disciplining your children. So Lord, we just pray that you'll open up your word to us this morning. Lord, use me. May my lips be your lips, Lord. And may we receive a touch from you this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. In this passage, Paul is writing to the Galatian church, but not only them, it applies to us as well, that we should stand firm and not be led astray by any other doctrine or fad that society may think up. We need to hold on to the fact that the Lord who loves us is not affected by fads. He remains constant, as we can read in Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The Galatians were being pressurized by outside influences to conform to society standards. And little has changed since those times. Isn't the same thing going on in society with us today? According to the law of our country, it seems it doesn't matter what the Bible says. It's society that makes a law. And if you're a Christian, well, you've just got to toe the line. You've got no rights other than to obey the law or face the consequences. And I'm sure you're well aware that there are many cases where Christians have been taken through the courts for refusing to comply with so-called human rights, which go against their faith. In fact, to me, it would seem that human rights don't apply to Christians. You may be regarded as foolish or even a bigot for standing up for your faith. Society in general likes us to have rules to follow. I believe that they think it makes things easier to maintain, to keep order, to keep everyone in their proper place. And many conform to society's rules. And there was me. I thought it was us Christians that were supposed to be the sheep. Today in our society, there are those who think that going to church, attending prayer meetings and Bible studies, and generally being religious is all that's required to make them acceptable to God. Yet the scripture clearly states that there is only one way that we can be right with God, and that is through faith in Christ Jesus. That is the only way. And only then is through God's grace that we can receive salvation and claim the protection of the righteousness of his Son to cover us. The Galatians needed to be reminded of this, and as believers, so do we. Here's what Romans 7:4 has to say. So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you may belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. What does that mean? I believe it means that each one of us who believe and have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior need to share the gospel with those who the Lord puts across our paths. In obedience with the great commission of Jesus that he himself commanded his disciples, as we can read in Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Aye, that's not too hard, is it? To go and talk to people about your Lord and Saviour. Well, it could be. But only if you try and do it in your own strength. Remember what scripture tells you, that don't worry about what to say when you're questioned about anything. To rely on the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will give you the right words to meet every situation. And that, I believe that's why Jesus finished that commandment, just to remind us and give us that insurance. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. His Holy Spirit dwells within every believer. And Paul advises us in Galatians 5, in verse 16, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." If we listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to direct us, then we will be able to stand firm in our faith, free from fear, and enjoy the perfect peace that the Lord wants each of us to experience. As we can read in John's Gospel 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." That's Jesus Himself giving us that. And this morning, I believe what the Lord is saying to each one of us who has accepted Jesus as their Savior is that, as the lovely old hymn puts it, "Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine." If you've been redeemed, there is more good news from Jesus, who tells us, as we can read in John 10:27-30, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Who could ask for greater assurance than that from Jesus Himself? Now, isn't that worth standing up for? Standing firm in your faith? Isn't that how we can achieve true freedom? Because the only true freedom there is through salvation, through the blood of Christ. If you know and love the Lord, I urge you to stand firm in your faith, to guard it and to nourish it by studying His word daily and by sharing it with others. Because there is no use in having a light if you're not prepared to shine it and to share it with others. I know that the Lord Jesus loves you, and God the Father loves you with an everlasting love, and He has both a purpose and a plan for our lives, and He is waiting for you who don't already know Him to accept His Son Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and to receive His precious gift. As we're told in John 3:16, the Gospel in a nutshell: "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Note, it states, whoever. Yes, whoever believes. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're rich or poor, what colour your skin is, how handsome, like me, or ugly you are, how young or old, God loves you. Now, isn't that wonderful news? He doesn't judge anybody because He knows everybody. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. But without acknowledging Jesus, without repentance, without accepting the Lord as our Savior, there is only one future. And it's not a bright one, but it will be a hot one with an inexhaustible supply of fire and brimstone. But that's not the future that God wants for you. But ultimately, the choice is yours. And I hope that you will have the good sense to choose true freedom, the only freedom that you will ever experience. And the only way you can get that is by accepting God's Son, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior. And I hope and trust that that is the road. If you don't already, haven't already done it, that you will go down and accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I know that you love all the children of the world. As a little chorus that I learned at about a four-year-old, Jesus loves little children, all the children in the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Lord, you love us all, no matter how old and decrepit we are, how young we are, where we've been, what we've done in the past. Lord, your blood can cover everything and wipe it all clean. And you're willing to do that for all who come to you and repent and accept you as their Lord and Savior. So, Lord, I pray that whoever's listening to this message as it goes out onto the web, that you will speak to them, Lord. You will speak to them, not me, because only you can draw them to you. So, Lord, we just give you up this message this morning. I pray that you will use it to build your kingdom in this place and throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen.